So if you, you know, look into Google Ads and look into the conversions that Google claims to have had, and then you look into a Facebook's ad platform or Meta's ad platform, and maybe in Pinterest and TikTok, and you see how many conversions they claim to have generated. And let's assume you add up the conversions between just Google and Meta, and you maybe have 250 for 1 week, for example. And then you look into your backend, you see you only have 150 conversions. And the reason for that is that Google and Meta cannot sync on how many conversions they claim to have had. So, you know, that's the very first sort of problem that usually marketers experience when not using a bit more of a sophisticated marketing intelligence.
Hi, and welcome to CMO Convo. Today we have with us Janusz Moldovej, VP of Measurement at Funnel. Janusz, hi. Happy to have you here with us.
Hi, Mika. It's a pleasure to be here. Really excited. Yeah,
thank you very much for taking the time.
Sure.
I really appreciate it as well. So before we kind of like dive in, would you mind sharing a bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. So where do I start? I studied computer science at some stage in the future and was always interested in the appliance of computer science in a business context. So it was a combination of economics and computer science. And then instead of going into software engineering or software development, I was really interested in going into data analytics and business intelligence. And I started at the Otto Group, which is one of Europe's largest e-commerce groups, so to say. And there I was responsible for the data warehousing usage in the marketing team. And also then later went into data science in that particular department. We did things such as, you know, scoring clients for catalog send out. So there was already some data science machine learning going on at that stage. And then later I went into a social media company, was back then the biggest competitor of LinkedIn, Xing, OpenBC, so professional business network. And so then, you know, led and built different data analytics and data science teams in different organizations. And in the end, or not in the end, but before founding my own company, Atriba, I was at Jimdo, a website builder company. And there I met my co-founder. We decided to build Atriba, which is a marketing measurement company. Was a marketing measurement company because it got acquired last year by Funnel. Many of you might know Funnel. Funnel is one of the state-of-the-art solutions for data integration and marketing intelligence. And we were already partnering with Funnel for quite a while since 2019. So it made a lot of sense to have this acquisition happening. And since 1 year, basically, so the acquisition went through on the 25th of June last year. So almost a year now. Since then, the vice president measurement at Funnel.
Wow, that sounds like quite a journey. Very interesting. Thank you very much for sharing. And yeah, also doing acquisition and kind of like taking partnership to the next level sounds very exciting, like to have in your career. So thank you very much. In terms of like data and, you know, marketing. So we have been hearing and talking for years now about the need for CMOs to become more data driven. As a person who, as you shared, have been working in data for so many years now, compared to, you know, like the starting of that conversation and nowadays, do you really believe that CMO and marketing teams became more data-driven? Is that really came to life?
Yeah, overall and on average, yes. The short answer is yes, definitely. People think more about things such as measurement, marketing intelligence, integrating data for analysis. Of course, you have your outliers and, you know, marketing teams and CMOs that are still sort of where maybe other teams have been 20 years ago. But overall, I think also the teams got much more technical. And you find more CMOs that are also extremely technical. So that, you know, might have in the past, for example, been involved in implementing tracking systems and things like that. Specifically with sort of mobility, gaming companies, we experience their marketing teams being extremely technical. You will be hard pressed to, you know, find someone in their teams that doesn't know anything about data analytics. So on average, this is a definite yes, yeah. And maybe just to also add to that, I think that's also due to the pressure that the marketing teams have kind of gone through with becoming more easily able to prove their sort of performance and value, right? We talk about performance marketing, that kind of this whole focus on Google Analytics and tracking and making things somehow more easily measurable led to everybody thinking about how can we measure our marketing effectiveness. And I think back then, maybe that's an interesting topic, which we also stressed quite a bit. back then there was a, like almost too much focus on trackable channels. So everything digital, you know, Google search ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, all of these things. And now we see that this has been sort of also transferred to the world of brand marketing. So it's no longer enough for most brands, at least, to, you know, just put out a nice flashy branding campaign with a lot of creative effort. But the CFOs or maybe even the CEOs want to know what the effect of the potentially millions of efforts that have gone into that brand campaign resulted into, and what the actual impact on the bottom and top line have been.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. And I think that that is something that, you know, also as a podcast host here, I've been hearing a lot from CMOs, right? So we need as marketeers to be able to measure and to prove the results, and also to understand, is that resonating with our audience? Yes or no?
Exactly.
What is the effectiveness, as you mentioned? So that is great. From your experience, is there a way to kind of like balance between, you know, the work of performance and brand, and then the measurement, and actually also how does it look like nowadays from your experience and now?
Yeah. Really interesting question, because I think how I experienced it is that we went through a couple of paradigm shifts, and, you know, I already kind of alluded to that we had this phase where we were very much almost overly focused on trackable channels and Google Analytics and, you know, all these cookie-based tracking methodologies. But we mustn't forget that already in the 1980s and 1970s, something such as marketing mix modeling has been used by the big FMCGs. And also brand building was already big. So, you know, iconic brands such as Nike and Apple have been built in the 1980s completely without Google Analytics and digital marketing. And then we went into this, you know, took a deep dive into digital. And then with GDPR and all the tracking regulations, we realized we probably also need methodologies that help us to measure even if there's no tracking data. And these same methodologies can be used to incorporate branding channels and channels that we thought of not being trackable and or not measurable. But nowadays, we develop methodologies exist that allow us to basically measure marketing in a very holistic way. And that then the next step, if you are able to not just measure digital marketing, but also brand advertising and, you know, offline marketing, then, of course, there's no reason to call the one part of the marketing performance marketing and the brand marketing, which sounds like if we call one part of marketing stack performance marketing, the other brand marketing, that the brand marketing doesn't need to perform. But in the end, of course, all marketing needs to perform, right? We're not doing marketing for the sake of doing marketing. We do it because we want to increase the business value. So I think we could probably fill the rest of this conversation with how to strike this balance. But I mean, there are people, awesome people like Les Binet, who have been very vocal in saying that, you know, something like 60% should go into brand advertising, maybe 40% only into sales activation. The exact numbers, I don't think, are that important, but just to make sure that we have a balance and that we kind of understand where our balance should be. That's what we see a lot of clients now thinking about.
I would love actually to, if you can maybe share a bit about that from your perspective. So how can we actually measure brand?
So it's difficult. It's not as trivial as, you know, measuring whether a specific click was in a digital conversion journey. Mm-hmm. But there are quite some well-established ways to do this. And we have clients such as Montblanc, for example, who together with us, you know, speak about this. So one way to do it is that, well, first you want to understand all your marketing activities. And that means, you know, not just including digital marketing activities, but also your offline activities. And then you want to also understand important other effects. So, I mean, right now in these very challenging and volatile economic situations, you want to include maybe things such as the volatility index, if you're a financial institution, something such as interest rates, and make sure that you have not all, but let's say, you know, the most important effects covered that could impact your business and your brand equity or your, you know, value of your brand awareness. And then what you can do is measure the impact of all these sort of input variables on your brand. Now, brand itself is a very sort of almost elusive concept, right? Because how do we actually measure it? And one way that people propose to do it is, for example, using something such as share of search. So you use something such as Google Trends data, for example, and you find out how do you rank up against your competitors. So you need to define your competitors and then see how they rank up on Google Trends and how much how high your share in relevant searches is, for example. And that can be a good proxy. And there are some, you know, scientific studies that prove that this share of search can be a good proxy for understanding your market share and your brand equity following from that. And then if you combine that, for example, with also how your, you know, your direct traffic changes and how many potentially more social media mentions you have, you might build a very suitable brand score or kind of a proxy for, you know, allowing you to understand the value of your brand. And of course, then there's the whole field of brand tracker data. So whichever, you know, tool you choose for to use for that and what kind of panel data you use for that. But that data can also be used and also then correlated with these proxies to build really robust metric for your brand. And so then you can build a model that helps you understand how all your, you know, marketing effects, all of or your marketing tactics, activities, but also all these contextual variables impact changes in your brand equity metrics, so to say, through, for example, marketing mix modeling or some econometric modeling. So then you'll understand the impact of all your activities on brand. Now, the next thing, and feel free to interrupt me if I'm getting into too much detail, but in the end, we then only understand the impact on brand, right? We don't yet understand what the brand's impact in turn is on, you know, sales and profits. But once we have this sort of understanding of how we impact brand, then we can also build models in the next stage or a second model that has, so to say, brand, and make it, to make it easy, brand as another input variable that also changes in brand and how they impact sales in the long term. And that can also be modeled so that you have a quite a holistic view, not just on your short-term sales, but also on your long-term sales based on, you know, how they are impacted on your input variables and your marketing tactics.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds extremely valuable and insightful. So thank you very much for sharing. You've mentioned also, you know, like the measurement models.
Yeah.
And we all know people love to, you know, kind of like talk about attribution, and it is a huge topic as well. So we're not going to, you know, unfold everything, but I would love to get maybe a bit on your input about, like, do you have any, you know, preferred attribution model, or what is your take about last click attribution, which I know most of the marketeers kind of like, you know, look upon and kind of like, you know, have their eyes on that. So yeah, happy to hear your opinion about it and
yeah,
what's your thoughts?
So yeah, it seems like, you know, spent the last almost decade on trying to fight last click attribution. But on the other hand, it's like McDonald's, and Tim Kreinkamp, my colleague here, made that sort of analogy. He said, last click is like McDonald's. You kind of know it's crap, but every now and then you have to go there. If there's nothing else around, it's easily accessible and everybody understands it. And there's some crazy stats on that that I think it's like 78% of marketeers still use last click in some way or another. 77% don't really want to use it. So if you do the math, like 55% or something like that, use last click, but actually don't want to use it. So I think it all comes down to how easily understandable and accessible other methodologies are. I don't think you find one marketeer nowadays who says, I truly believe in last click being the best attribution model ever, and there's no good alternative whatsoever. I don't think there's many people that exist. And the trouble with last click is, like, first of all click-based and digital marketing-focused attribution methodologies pretend as if there's only trackable and clickable marketing activities, right? So they disregard all the other offline marketing activities, all the, as we just discussed, you know, other effects that might not be directly related to media spends, discount, price changes, discounts, product changes, things like that. But then also, yeah, volatility in the market and things. So that's a sort of a weird thing about last anyhow. But then if you compare it to other potential methodologies, last click is really just, you know, paying the goal scorer who scored a goal in a football team, and everybody else would not get any salary. So the goalkeeper, the defensive players who usually don't score a goal, they would get no salary and they just play for fun, so to say. That wouldn't work in a professional football team, and it also doesn't really work in marketing well. So that's a big issue with last click. And I mean, there are better methodologies people try to come up with, such as, you know, linear attribution or first click attribution, the ones that you used to be able to choose in Google Analytics as well. But the issues with those is you only look at converting journeys, and so you have huge survivorship bias. You know, because you only, so to say, if you want to evaluate the effectiveness and the performance of a midfield player in football, it's like only looking at the successful passes, but not accounting for all the unsuccessful passes that he played. So not looking at the sort of conversion rate, right? So that's the issue with these sort of static attribution models. And what you in the end want to do is data-driven multi-touch attribution, where you look at converting and non-converting journeys that allow you to really understand the effectiveness and performance of each marketing activity in a data-driven way. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing. And I'm happy, you know, like I think that data and the way to interpret the data, it's a full story, right? So how yes. different people look at that and the different perspective.
This episode is brought to you by Funnel, the trusted marketing intelligence platform that powers growth. Funnel helps businesses transform complex marketing data into clear, actionable insights through seamless data integration, detailed campaign reporting, and AI-powered advanced measurement. Increase your marketing effectiveness by centralizing data from hundreds of platforms. Then, understand it and make better, more intelligent decisions. Learn more at funnel.io. That's FUNNEL.io. Go from data to intelligence with Funnel.
We talked a bit about your career journey, and then you mentioned that you've been working with Funnel. So would you mind sharing a bit more about Funnel?
Yes, I'd love to. I mean, at some stage, we decided that Funnel would be a good strategic partner and a good company to acquire. And we always looked up to Funnel. They were founded, I think, 1 or 2 years before Triba and Fredrik. Their founders are all pretty amazing people. I looked up to them as SaaS founders. So that's my kind of personal story there. But then also they solve a very important problem, which is to integrate all the different digital marketing data from all the different ad platforms and in a really efficient way. So they are one of the state-of-the-art solutions for, or we, I should probably say now, one of the state-of-the-art solutions for marketing ETLing, so extracting, transforming, and loading data very efficiently into your data warehouse, into a system where you can do further analysis with this data. So they solve this problem. You have to imagine that marketers, before they start using something such as Funnel, they pull all the cost and spend and impression and click data from each ad platform individually into an Excel sheet potentially, and then they use that to report the efficiency and effectiveness and performance of the marketing activities towards their team lead, towards the CMO or whoever. And that can all be done automatically, pull that data in automatically on a daily basis and sync it and map it and make it available also for further analysis. And that's where then marketing intelligence, marketing measurement comes in.
Thank you very much for sharing. And I do agree. I think that, you know, like most of us included still work with some sort of an Excel spreadsheet, and then we pull in all the information, and then you need to spend time cleaning up things and making it digestible and taking, you know, the real insight. So having a solution like that sounds something that also can cost time and is very efficient and just streamlining that. So that is great. For someone who might be new to marketing, you know, for the more junior audience listeners, how do you know kind of like to identify that you have a problem with your data? And then another question that I would love us to deep dive into is the whole topic of like quality data. Yeah. Because there is data and then there's quality data. So for, you know, the more junior listeners,
what is your
intake?
Yeah, important topic. I mean, you probably find out that you have a problem with marketing data and quality of your marketing data. For example, if you look into the app platforms in a separate way, so if you, you know, look into Google Ads and look into the conversions that Google claims to have had or have caused, and then you look into Facebook's ads platform or Meta's ad platform and maybe Pinterest and TikTok, and you see how many conversions they claim to have generated. And let's assume you add up the conversions between just Google and Meta, and you maybe have 250 conversions. But then you look into your, for 1 week, for example, and then you look into your backend, you see you only have 150 conversions. And the reason for that is that Google and Meta cannot sync on how many conversions they claim to have had. So, you know, that's the very first sort of problem that usually marketers experience when not using a bit more of a sophisticated marketing intelligence approach. Now, then the next thing is, then you probably understand that you should use something such as Google Analytics to look into your conversion numbers. But then the question is, how do I now, if I kind of sort of deduplicated my conversions, how do I now compare that to the cost and spend? So you need to somehow pull your spend and cost data into Google Analytics. And that's something that we can help with Funnel. We have Google Analytics also as a data destination, so that's possible. But then you want to do it also in a holistic way. And you, in the next step, you don't want to have to rely on Google Analytics telling you how many conversions and how much revenue each channel and campaign has generated, because Google Analytics belongs to the major digital ad platform. And there's just this sort of inherent unbiasedness that we should account for. And that there are sort of incidents, or there's evidence for, you know, Google Analytics not being completely unbiased, which still makes it okay to use it in some way, but you should look into a very neutral and third vendor platform to be able to understand how many conversions, how much revenue each marketing activity has generated. And that's where independent measurement vendors such as Funnel Measurement comes into play. And then understanding like data quality. So that's first kind of the setup that you need to have in place. And then data quality wise, you also want to make sure that things such as currency conversion, if you drive sales in different markets with different currencies, that's also a very common problem that you might not be able to easily convert currencies into one standard. So for example, in euros or US dollars, to have a unique understanding of the CPA and ROAS across all your different markets. And that's also something that, you know, platforms such as Funnel Data Hub can solve for, to automatically convert currencies into the standard that you want to use. And then with regards to tracking data, of course, there's a whole episode we could do about the quality of tracking data, but you are not able to track all touch points, not all clicks, due to things such as tracking regulation.
100% agree. Yeah,
so
100% agree.
That's something that you just need to be aware of if you're using tracking data. So you need to pay a lot of attention into tracking data, or a lot of efforts into validating tracking data. Make sure that you really have high quality tracking data and still understand the limitations of it. So for example, what's not possible to track nowadays are the impressions that you might have, the ad impressions on a user level that you might have on your Instagram ads. And of course, Meta knows how many impressions have happened for each of their users, but they are not giving that away, they're not making this transparent. So that's something that you need to think about. How am I able to measure my awesome upper funnel branding orientated digital marketing activities, such as on Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, wherever, without being able to, you know, track the impressions? The clicks you might be able to track, but this is not how these channels work. These channels don't work by, you know, users clicking on them and then ending up on your website and converting. They work by leaving an impression, so to say, and helping you to build your brand. So that also is in some way a data quality and data analytics challenge.
I would love to know from your perspective, is there a next generation of measurement that you or Funnel are offering?
Yes. So with, you know, these kind of, when we went through these paradigm shifts and now we're arriving at this more balanced approach, that also was possible because we use different, or only possible, basically, because we use different types of marketing measurement methodologies. And the state of the art nowadays is something, a concept called triangulation. We're not just relying on any one specific methodology, such as marketing mix modeling, but you combine different methodologies. So, for example, we at Funnel Measurement, we combine marketing mix modeling with multi-touch attribution, data-driven multi-touch attribution, and experiments in geolift tests. And each of these methodologies has their own particular strength, but also their own very particular limitation. And marketing mix modeling, for example, is really great to incorporate non-media effects and non-trackable marketing channels, but it's not so great at granularity. It's also inherently limited on a very small amount of data, so it's really hard to get right. Multi-touch attribution, as we already just discussed, is relying on tracking data. So, you know, tracking signal loss is a big thing, and data regulation, all of these things. Incrementality testing is really great in understanding causality. So it's actually sort of the scientific gold standard for proving causality between your marketing input and, you know, your sales and profits. But results usually take quite a bit of time. So 2 weeks to 2 months, something like that. And also you have to keep in mind, if you do an experiment, a geolift test, for example, you're exposing one part of your audience or your market to your media, but the other market you might not expose to your marketing activities. So you potentially lose out on revenue or profits or both. And so by combining these methodologies, you really have the best of all three worlds, so to say, while you kind of mitigate each methodology's weakness.
So we talked and we touched about it in one of the previous questions, but We know that often CMOs or marketing leaders need to present their data to the CFO or the CEO, or even sometimes, you know, to the whole company. But oftentimes, this data is not really being trusted. Is there any recommendation or tips for our audience listening now? Kind of like, how should they approach it? How can they really believe in their own data, but then also convince the senior leadership or even the company that the data is accurate and should be trusted?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there are at least two ways on how to solve for that. One is, of course, creating as much transparency as possible. So explaining how this data was generated, where it's coming from, how it's being analyzed, what kind of methodologies have been used, all of these things. So we try to do that, for example, by offering a course and an academy, and many other vendors do the same. So a lot of our work in sales and marketing is aimed at educating the market and really explaining, you know, such as in this format, you know, how do these new methodologies look like? And we like, if we have more data savvy people on the receiving side, then we can also go into the very details of how these algorithms work, what kind of machine learning metrics are being used, etc. So I think that is one part of the equation, so to say. And on the other side is that you can also explain that you can use, for example, to prove MMM or MTA results, you can use experiments. Mostly everybody understands the value of experiments. Otherwise, you know, you just also, again, need to educate how experiments are a really good way to prove the validity of the results that you have seen. Now, of course, that might not happen with one board meeting or, you know, one weekly report where the CMO is supposed to present the results to the CFO and CEO. But it's in sort of a longer term process. So it's not happening overnight. And it kind of relates back to your one of the first questions, that I think this will become less and less of a problem because CMOs and marketing leaders will become more technical, and they will also be more used to talking to CFOs. Actually, CFOs work with similar concepts as we do in marketing. They also, you know, look at our internal rate of return, things like that, IRR. And that's very similar to, for example, a return on ad spend. It's also like you can also look into marketing budget allocation as individual investment decisions, whether you buy a company or stock of a company, or you invest into specific marketing channels to deliver a specific rate of return. So I think this will get easier in the future, but it will take time. I don't think it will happen overnight. And of course, it also relies on people being able to translate rather complex concepts, such as marketing mix modeling, and the details about it in sort of easy terms and relatable terms.
I 100% agree. And moreover than that, another trend that I've been identifying and seeing that many marketers as well, is that marketing is shifting more and more towards revenue. So actually understanding how your activities, even in product marketing, ties back into the revenue. And let's be honest, eventually that is one of the main KPIs that the CFO is looking at. So it's kind of like understanding that in the end, CMOs and CFOs are kind of talking the same language, as you said. So I do believe that, you know, that will kind of like be combined together, and we will move more and more closely to revenue and having a closer relationship with the CFO, which is a high recommendation in any case.
100% yeah. Agree. I think that's so important that we don't see, you know, the CMO or the marketing department as some fancy creatives who don't care at all about revenue, but they just want to, you know, live out their creative vibes or whatever. That's also not how we experience marketing teams. They are very, sometimes it almost feels like they are the most quantitative teams in an organization and really, really care a lot about increasing revenue and profitability and margins and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that we will see like a shift between being like identified as a cost center into a revenue driver and to a growth driver. And I think that that is the direction of marketing at the moment.
Again, agree. We have many clients who actually do exactly that. They expect the marketing teams to, you know, act more like a profit center and not just some fancy department where it's hard to prove the value of what they're doing. And it's also driven by the economic situations that we have, right? We talk with a lot of brands that just need to prove their efficiency in order to kind of, you know, prove how much budget they should and sort of help to understand how much budget should be allocated to their activities. So I think it's a natural transition that happens anyhow. I mean, we had these times with, you know, zero interest rates and COVID where We had some clients that were just interested in knowing where they should spend more. There was no discussion about where to invest less. So then you have a slightly different conversation. You just try to throw more money at things and you need to know where onto what. It's kind of a little bit different from trying to increase efficiency at all costs. But I think it's good to have something like the current development as well.
Yeah. Well, eventually everything will get balanced. So yes, you will see shifting times as well. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about marketing intelligence. Are there any other platforms outside of Funnel that is currently very active in the market? And then if you mind sharing kind of like, what is the strengths of Funnel when we kind of like look at that category?
Yes, sure. Happy to. I mean, we feel like we have a good view on the market. It's kind of part of our job to understand what other vendors are out there, what the offering is looking like, because otherwise we would be a bit ignorant almost. So what we see is that with the sort of tracking regulations and GDPR, a lot of people believe that tracking data would not be anything they should pay attention to. So we had a lot of marketing mix modeling vendors coming up. That was also fueled by Robin, which is an open source marketing mix modeling solution software, really not a solution. It's really just a software package that has been created by Meta, which is, I think, brought the concept of marketing mix modeling just to the next level. And you saw that, you know, suddenly you could do marketing mix modeling, not just on a quarterly or yearly basis. You would be able to do it on a daily basis, such as we do it, for example. So that was a huge shift where a lot of MMM vendors came into being. And many of them were also a bit dogmatic almost about not having to look into any sort of other methodologies, almost selling marketing mix modeling as the holy grail of marketing measurement. What all of these vendors sort of had was, of course, the drive to increase marketing efficiency. So that, I think that's a good thing. They helped to educate the market. What we though saw is that none of these measurement vendors has something in their backend, so to say, that is similar to Funnel's data. So now there is no comparable solution right now in the market that has this power of a data hub that we have with Funnel Data Hub, combined with the state-of-the-art measurement solution. For us, state-of-the-art, as I explained earlier, is triangulation. And that offering combined is quite unique. We haven't yet found a competitor who does both. So, I mean, there are some vendors out there that maybe integrate 10 or 20 different app platforms via APIs. But keep in mind, Funnel has more than 1,000 connections to different app platforms. And we are just increasing this number on a steady level. We are also tracking more than 10% of the overall digital ad spend with all the clients we have. So that share is steadily growing. So we feel like that we see a lot of digital ad spend, relatively speaking, at least. And I feel also that there's a huge potential for us to build up on this scalability of our whole operations. And yeah, I feel really good about all the things that we are able to do with this combination of measurement and the data.
Yeah, so sound extremely interesting. Janusz, I will say thank you very much for being a guest in this podcast. I've surely learned a lot about measurement and different model attribution. So I hope that our audience will gain value as well. Thank you very much and have a great day. Ciao.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mika, for having me. It was a pleasure. And yeah, looking forward to maybe showing the solution.
Oh, 100%. Yes, let's do it. That's for sure.
Thanks for having me and thanks for listening to me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.